Today on the 21st Show, we'll talk about the migrants being bused from Texas to Chicago and how downstate communities across Illinois are either preparing to do their part or are already taking in migrants and making them part of their communities. We'll also talk about the politics around these latest arrivals.
It is because you are the only solution. That's why they are taking on America, not Russia, not Korea, not China easily.
I'm Brian Mackey, Migrants in Downstate Illinois, today on the 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. Airing on WILL in Urbana, WUIS in Springfield, WGLT in Normal, WCBU in Peoria, WNIJ in DeKalb, WVIK in the Quad Cities, and WSIU in Carbondale. But first, the news. From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the entire hour today, we're going to be talking about the ongoing migrant situation that continues to affect Chicago. Since August of 2022, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been sending busloads of men, women, and children to Illinois in protest of the Biden administration's immigration policy, specifically the end of Title 42, which allowed the U.S. to deny asylum seekers entry during the COVID-19 pandemic. As we go to air, just over 35,000 migrants have been transported, and there are no signs of that stopping. It's put a strain on city services in Chicago. Housing and health in particular have been concerns. And the surrounding suburbs have also been affected. Migrants have been dropped off at metro stations, and cities continue to debate how they should or should not participate. All this has prompted questions also about the role of downstate Illinois, specifically whether and how downstate communities should be involved, and whether there are any migrants already living here. And that is the main subject of what we're going to be talking about today. We're joined now by Charlotte Alvarez and Houdina Castillo, who are with the Immigration Project. The group provides immigration legal services in Bloomington, Normal, and Champaign-Urbana. Charlotte is the executive director. Houdina is a recent arrival caseworker. Charlotte and Houdina, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Also with us is Isaac Carr, Citizenship Director of the Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees. Isaac, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Thank you so much, Brian.
And we are finally joined by Akuya Forku Sektre, Director of the New American Welcome Center in Champaign. Akuya, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Thank you.
Listeners, in order to make our schedules work, we are not taking calls live today. We taped this on Wednesday afternoon, but we did ask the members of our texting group for what you think about this. We heard a variety of responses. We'll be sharing them throughout the show. Just to get things started, Lloyd in Danville said, "For me, the politicization of human beings is just wrong. White people came from Europe in droves, so why are white people threatened by brown people entering our country for the same reasons their ancestors did?" And Tommy in Urbana said, "I can understand why the border state folks aren't happy, but sending them places as pawns only makes us look stupid and lazy. I think anyone who has the moxie to walk all the way from Colombia with nothing and wants to be an American should get to be one." We'll have other responses we share throughout the show. Charlotte, I want to begin with you. Talk a little bit about the process of how migrants are arriving in downstate communities. I mean, there seems to be very little reporting and even confusion among members of the media about how this is all working.
Sure. So we serve 86 counties in central and southern Illinois. So we've seen recent arrivals across that service area. I think there's a lot of confusion in the reporting on this because there's a lack of consistency on a federal level. So individuals who come to the southern border often are immediately placed into removal proceedings and start a federal immigration process. And then some are released into border areas. Some, as we've seen, have been force bused up to Chicago or sent to New York City. And what we're seeing downstate are individuals who have some sort of connection here or heard that there's a safe place to land and have, after those bust situations or after entering the border, have made their way kind of in trickles over time into downstate areas.
So Charlotte, I understand there are migrants from Texas that have come to Bloomington Normal. When did that begin? How did that happen?
Yeah, so Bloomington Normal, like a lot of our downstate communities, has had decades and decades of migration trends of various types, right? So we've always had migrant population and immigrant population who are making Bloomington Normal home. The recent arrivals really started in around November 2022 when the buses were being forced up from Texas area into Chicagoland. And we saw individuals who were on that highway where the bus would stop and just say, if you want to get off here, you can. And so individuals ended up in all sorts of communities, not really having any social services in place, any support, any real knowledge of where they are and where they're landing. So we saw very few of people around November 2022, and again, like maybe six or seven people who ended up in Bloomington Normal from that reason. And then after November 2022, we started seeing people trickling into the area who were bused somewhere else and then found their way and had connections to the local community. So we think there's probably around maybe slightly less than 200 recent arrivals who have come in the last couple of years.
Hodina Castillo, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You are a recent arrival caseworker. You're working directly with migrants in Bloomington Normal. Among these recent arrivals, what have you been hearing from them about some of their reasons for wanting to come to America?
Thank you for inviting me. And there's a lot of reasons, different reasons, depending the nationality. For example, I'm from Venezuela and I see all the time people, new arrivals from Venezuela. The reason from to come to the United States is political and social. For Venezuela, it's a phenomenon, it's the new culture to move to another place. It's new for us. And the reason is the social crisis for the first time.
Social
And I
crisis. Yeah,
think,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
yes, and I think that for people from Colombia, Peru, Brazil, and the reasons are similar.
Can you talk a little bit about the journey that it takes for them to come to America or even to Chicago?
Some people or the mayor of the people came to the United States walking through a lot of country. For example, Venezuela or Colombia can walk through seven countries through the jungle, and they last place is Mexico. And when they arrive to Mexico, they came to the United States, maybe Texas, Arizona, or California. And in this moment, they start su camino, road to legality in the United States.
Okuya, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You're director at the New American Welcome Center. I wonder if you've seen migrants in this recent sort of wave being sent up by bus often to Chicagoland. Have any of them ended up in Champaign-Urbana?
Well, similarly to what Charlotte described as to what's happening in Bloomington Normal, the New American Welcome Center has supported immigrants and migrants for about almost 7 years now. And recent times, there's no difference for recent times. And so we have seen that the people that we are supporting, individuals and families, have trek through Texas along with other places in the United States. And so in short, yes, it hasn't necessarily been through a bus specifically, but folks for whatever reason may have come to our community to seek support, or perhaps they know folks in the area as well.
Isaac, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Isaac Carr, Citizenship Director at the Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees. As far as you're aware, have any of the sort of this recent surge of migrants coming up from Texas arrived in the Quad Cities, or are there any that you're aware are planning to go to the Quad Cities?
We do have a lot of them here. We have experienced a lot of them, even I would say for the past 2 days, because the program, the one we call the IFSP, which is the Illinois Family Support Program, that is intended for undocumented immigrant or migrant. Last day was supposed to be on Friday, so Thursday we had so many influx of people that were willing to or waiting to kind of like have their cases pulled forward, because at least the state of Illinois has been helping a lot of them. And so I mean, for the first time since I've been at this job, I saw a very huge group where people were online. I believe we were able to serve close to 200-300 people or family that day. So basically, yes, I would say there should be more than 2,000 to 3,000 now in the area. For the past couple of months, we have been receiving phone calls from either locals or some family member that they have their family at the border in Texas. Are we providing transportation to get them here? Or we got family in California or Arizona. Are we providing transportation to get them here? And we've been avoiding those kind of steps, because you don't want to transport people that's not our role. If you get here, yes, we can manage with the resources that is provided through our agency that we can be able to help to do that, but not to even bring people in. And there's a lot of them here. Like Charlotte also said, there are a lot of people who already have prior connection in the country. And so when these people get at the border and through the border, their family will manage to transport them to the location wherever they are. So even for those in Chicago who already have friends around here, or New York that have friends in Illinois, they will manage to get them to their location.
Charlotte, I want to ask you, what does the process look like for when somebody is newly arrived? Where does it begin? How do you begin helping them get settled in this new area?
Sure. Well, for each person, we want to look at where they are as an individual and a human being, and how we can support them towards sustainability and self-sufficiency, right? So there's kind of two parts of that. First is the immediate social needs. Do they have housing? Do they have, any medical needs? Can we connect them to existing resources to make sure that they have their basic human dignity intact? And then also there are their legal needs. So a lot of the recent arrivals we've seen are very concerned about following the legal process in the United States, and they have complex legal needs. They often are in removal proceedings and also have valid claims for asylum or other versions of status that allow for work authorization. So it's a two-pronged approach. One, how do we really protect the dignity of the individual and support them in those needs? And then two, how do we make sure that we're accomplishing those immigration legal needs so that they can get a stability, work authorization, and the safety that they're looking for?
I want to share another text message we got from a listener. John in Harvard said, and this gets into some more of the politics that we've been hearing lately. He said, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. We can't operate as a nation with 15 million people from around the world living in the shadows. John goes on to say, I'm a liberal Democrat, but I can't abide by my country being willfully flooded. Charlotte, I wonder what you would say to John.
Sure. I think that it'd be a whole discussion, and we have these discussions all the time. I don't think there's any good, real, clean-cut, short answer, right? But I think that we need to understand that most recent arrivals are going through our existing legal process. They are registered with ICE. They are in process with the Executive Office of Immigration Review. They're filing paperwork with United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. And the system, while the numbers have expanded, the system has processes to fully look at each individual and determine whether they have a way to stay under our existing laws. And I'd also say that we really want to think about why our laws are set up how they are, right? We believe in asylum because we really believe that each individual deserves to have a place where they're free of persecution based on membership of being in a particular social group or their religion or race, or the political situation in their country. So a lot of the recent arrivals are seeking safety and stability. And I think that America is big enough and welcoming enough to accept that and create a process for individuals to go through and become Americans just like all of the rest of us.
All right, we're going to take a break on the program. We will continue this conversation when we return. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the influx of migrants to Illinois. Tens of thousands of people have been bused by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, mostly to Chicago and Chicagoland, but some of them are are ending up in downstate communities. Bloomington Normal, we heard about, the Quad Cities as well. We are talking about this with people who work in this space, and we will continue our conversation after a short break. Again, this conversation is on tape, so we are not taking calls live, but you can always let us know what you think by emailing us. The address for that is talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org. That is also our website where you can find our voicemail line, our text messaging group, and every other way to contact us. Again, 21stshow.org. This is the 21st Show. Please stay with us. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the entire hour today, we are talking about the ongoing migrant situation here in Illinois. This has largely been covered as a Chicago story, but there are communities downstate that are also in play in this. We're talking about it with Charlotte Alvarez and Houdina Castillo of the Immigration Project, which is based in Bloomington Normal and Champaign-Urbana, covers many other counties in downstate Illinois. Also, Isaac Carr with the Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees. And also Akuya Forku Sektre, who is director of the New American Welcome Center. In order to make our schedules meet, we taped this conversation on Wednesday afternoon, so we are not taking calls live. We did ask our texting group about it. You'll be hearing from them throughout the program, and you can join that by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. So, Houdina, I want to bring you back into the conversation. You mentioned that immigrants are nothing new for Bloomington Normal, for example, and the Immigration Project has been working with immigrants for a long time. I wonder if there are any differences in the people who are arriving lately in this latest group and being sent up, as we heard one listener said, as political pawns from Texas versus people who've come up in the past.
Well, I told you that new arrivals are different from all arrivals. The reasons are different. For example, the new arrivals usually don't know where to start. All migration, all the times, have people waiting for them, but the new arrivals, they don't have nothing. In this moment, this is a crisis for all the United States. We know that. But we are trying to help with our resources all the new arrivals. For example, the new arrivals need a place to live. So far they came and they have a family or friends that can receive them. But this is temporary because the people live in a small place, a lot of people, and they want help to rent for have their own space. And so the main need for them is housing. Second place, I think that medical attention is important for them because we need to remember that the major of the people that are coming for the first time came working for a lot of country, for the jungle, and their health may be poor in some of them. They need urgent medical attention. Fortunately, children can receive medical coverage through state programs, but adults do not have protection programs. These are suspended now. And attention must be paid to how to respond to this need. And they need, as Charlotte explained a few minutes ago, their important concern is about how to be legal in the country.
And I just wanted to jump in. I think there's a real difference in how these recent arrivals are being treated and the support they're receiving versus, for example, Ukrainians or refugee-coded populations. If an individual comes in as a refugee, there's a lot more federal support, there's a lot more organized support, support for basic needs like housing and healthcare. And we've seen that refugee resettlement results in long-term positive outcomes for those communities and the communities they're resettled to. And the lack of that support means that immigrants themselves and social service agencies are trying to fill the gaps. But there's a real difference for individuals coming in downstate who are able to access refugee resources versus recent arrivals who are trying to figure it out on their own in a lot of ways.
That is an intriguing distinction. It puts me in mind of something I heard last week. We spoke with the president of the Illinois State Senate, Don Harmon, and one of the factors he mentioned about why this particular group of tens of thousands of migrants who've been bussed up from Texas might have a different experience, or one of the factors, he said, not the main one, but one of them. Many of them, he said, are from Venezuela. And in Chicagoland in particular, he said there is not a large Venezuelan population as there might be with Ukrainians or people from Mexico or other countries on Earth. Akuya, I wonder if you can speak to that. If from your experience in this space, how important is it to have sort of an established community of people who share your cultural heritage?
Yeah, it's extremely important. I think just across the board, folks feel, you know, comfortable being able to relate to people who are understanding of not only their language, but their culture and their background, being able to identify with a group of people who you know you can ultimately trust and depend on for support can really help with the navigation of barriers that come from the migrant, if you will, immigration experience. So being able to identify, meet, connect with someone who is from a similar country, a similar background, can really help facilitate the process, you know, because people tend to learn about resources, learn about supports through word of mouth. It's kind of like if you're able to get the approval of a certain resource or a certain connection from someone who you trust, that is even more reason to seek out that service or seek out that resource. So I will say it's really important for folks to be able to be connected with people from similar backgrounds.
Hodaida, you mentioned that you are from Venezuela yourself, and I
Yes.
wonder, since we've been talking about the importance of sort of finding your own community and how we spoke with the president of the Illinois Senate last week, who said that he felt one of the issues in Chicago in particular is that there are not a significant Venezuelan population up there. Has that made a difference in Bloomington Normal with the people you've welcomed there?
Yes, the majority of the Venezuelan people are in Chicago now. And people in Bloomington, new arrivals from Venezuela, are a few people. And I don't know what are the needs in the people in Chicago, but Venezuela people in Bloomington, it's a very hard worker people. And I feel so proud of them because I see that they are responsible people and they are very concerned about the resources to be legal in the country. And I think that a very, very good community for us, a good representation from Venezuela in Bloomington now.
Isaac, that's an interesting point. Hudina there mentioned the hardworking aspect. And we did get a text from a listener, Tiffany in Champaign, who said, "We must be reminded of our need for migrant workers in our country. Everyone has a purpose and a passion." Isaac Carr, you are with the Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees. Can you talk about the sort of economic effects of immigrants in the Quad Cities?
Yes, I can. First of all, though my name is Isaac Carr, it may sound more American. I am a Liberian. I came to this country as a refugee, and I will say being a refugee is not an easy starter. And yes, people can also be internal refugee displaced within their own country, and we see that in the United States with all of these weather conditions from snow weather to rain to tornadoes and all of that. Displaced population lost everything they have. And as we continue to see the influx of migrant, there is a big difference between immigrants, refugee, and the migrant and these people who come with, I mean, for asylum and everything. Politically, people live in those countries, it has to do with very high tension, government issues, political, social class, and intimidation for these people. And yes, like we said, I mean, it hurts to look at the need of, yes, we need migrant worker. I don't want to say that. I will feel very wrong because senators, ex-presidents, and people who are well-to-do in their own countries leave those countries with all their money and possession they have and travel with just piece of something or little identity. Some of them have to trash their identity because when you come through as an ex-president, ex-governor, you could be killed carrying those identity and value with you because of your former position. These people lost it. But I can tell you also in the community that we live, immigrants, refugee, migrant are one of the most hardworking people who bring up the economy and grows the economy because when people like us are these migrant comes to the country, they work very hard. Today, we should say maybe the Illinois budget, not budget, but pay limit or break could be around $15. These migrants would take $10 an hour, 550, 20, I mean, whatever amount of money people want to pay, they're under the table, they will work just to pay for their bills and little food they can obtain. But again, these migrants are very hardworking. A lot of us who came to this country as immigrant, refugee, and was able to help other family here, we work very hard. We own homes, go to school, educate our family, live the American dream above and beyond. And that's what we continue to do. So I must say, yes, that's, we are a great difference maker. And that's one reason that brought some of us to this job, because we want to help other people. It takes people who understand the situation to help those who are in the situation. And like what Jaden and Charlotte also said, when we get here to these places, we already have the help. The federal government, churches, organizations, they know who's coming. Your name is written. How many family members? What are your needs? They know those. Some of us were able to get some money in our pocket before immigrating to this country, but the migrant, people walking through a whole country. Some of us cannot even walk through just a city. And these people are walking through country, 3 to 4 countries, 7 countries to get to the United States. It is so sad. You know, I am so also sorry that, yes, America will be the only country that will accept this to happen easily. And the only country in the entire continent or country in the entire universe that will allow this to happen, because you are able to do it. Please forgive these people. It is because you are the only solution. That's why they are taking on America, not Russia, not Korea, not China easily.
Charlotte, before we take a break, just a couple of minutes until we do need to take a break, can you talk a little bit about some of the lived experiences of the migrants in Bloomington Normal? How have they been adapting?
Sure. I think each person has their kind of unique experience, right? And it depends on when they arrived. And like Isaac said, there's a real difference in people's backgrounds when they get here. Some individuals who are recent arrivals were in professional positions in their past, maybe have certifications, have some English fluency, have a lot more kind of professional experience in their past that they can utilize here. And some might have less formal education or might have no English ability, for example. So it really depends on the person. We've seen a lot of families coming in and with kids who are going to school. We're lucky enough to have some good bilingual programs in both school districts who are in Bloomington Normal, and some support from the school districts and a welcoming environment. So I think that in general, there's backlogs, right, for support, especially for legal services. A lot of individuals, like I mentioned, are in removal proceedings. They need orientation and support in seeing if they have asylum claims and how to file those and other forms like temporary protected status. So they're looking for resources. We're doing what we can, but we serve a large area and there's a lot of recent arrivals. So we have seen backlogs in our ability to help orient people on the immigration side. I've seen individuals who are, you know, who are, like Judy said, several people living in one house when they first arrive and then are looking for opportunities to move into their own apartments and settle into kind of a long-term housing plan. We do have, like a lot of other parts of the state, low-income housing shortages. So that affects our immigrant community, just like it affects all of us in town. And so we see people looking for and sometimes finding better housing options and finding better employment opportunities kind of the longer that they're here.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, we see short-term immediate needs and then kind of long-term successes.
All right, we are going to take a break. We will continue this conversation after we return. We are talking about the migrant situation with tens of thousands of people who've been bused to Illinois from Texas. Most of them have gone to Chicago. Some are going to downstate. Downstate communities are also preparing for potentially bringing in more people. We will continue this conversation after the break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the entire hour today, we've been talking about the ongoing situation of migrants in Illinois, particularly the some 35,000 people who have been bused up from Texas. The vast majority of them have ended up in Chicago, but there are some living in downstate communities, and that is what we are focusing on today. We're talking about this with Charlotte Alvarez and Houdina Castillo of the Immigration Project, which is based in Bloomington, Normal, Champaign-Urbana, and elsewhere in downstate central Illinois. Isaac Carr is with the Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees, and Akuya Forku-Sektre is director of the New American Welcome Center. We taped this conversation on Wednesday in order to accommodate everyone's schedules. We are sharing comments from our texting group throughout, and you can join that by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Akuya, can you talk about the city of Champaign becoming a certified welcoming community? What does that entail?
Yes, of course. So we, City of Champaign, received our official designation last fall. And what this has entailed is that the City of Champaign has worked with close community partners, including the New American Welcome Center, on various objectives. And Welcoming America, the organization that oversees the welcoming designations, came to our community and did a intensive audit. They looked at how community partners, along with local government, have various policies, procedures around welcoming immigrants. They look to see what our goals are when it comes to future planning. And we were able to be successful in that audit. And so we received a 2-star designation, which shows that we have done significant work up to this point, and that we also have some opportunity to continue our welcoming efforts.
Charlotte, I wanted to ask you just about some of the sort of technical aspects of how all this is working. You mentioned in a separate interview with our partner station, WGLT, you took issue with how the state of Illinois, specifically the Emergency Management Agency, is recommending sending all of the transported migrants through Chicago's intake center. Talk more about that.
Sure. As I understand, on a state level, Emergency Management Agency has sent recommendations to all of the county emergency managers recommending that any buses that arrive, at the individuals on those buses get sent to a primary intake location in Chicago. As I understand it, that's not a mandate, but rather a suggestion. And my suggestion is that downstate communities can be a part of the solution instead of kind of saying, we don't want these people here, send them down the road, right? The numbers in our downstate communities, we are seeing declining Native populations as people leave downstate communities. We've seen that immigrants revitalize the communities that they're living in. And so I think that if we're able to rise to this challenge and provide short-term support and stability for folks, then that's going to be a long-term gain for the communities that these recent arrivals are settling in. So I think that, you know, I respect each agency having to follow their directives, but what I applaud about what Champaign has done is look at having a proactive plan and seeing how can they be a welcoming community, right? A true welcoming community. And I think that should be possible for all of our downstate communities. I know that there's an upper limit. We're not saying that 35,000 recent arrivals should arrive in Carbondale or in Pontiac. But I think that we've seen that if people are passionate about this, that there are individuals who would welcome new arrivals, who would support new arrivals, and we can resettle and find space in our hearts and our communities for some individuals who are just looking for some safety.
I want to share another text message from a listener. Ryan in Champaign said, "Migration will only increase with climate change. It's time to start acting like this is normal instead of a surprise." And Isaac Carr with the Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees, I wonder if you can speak to that, climate migration.
I will say yes, that's one factor. Climate can affect migration, like we were talking about earlier. If in the Californian area we continue to have a lot of wildfire, that can lead to people leaving California to Illinois and other parts of America that they prefer. When it comes to countries that have droughts and farming can also affect migration. So climate change widely can be one factor. One main factor for countries like African nations is war, political struggle for leadership, can also lead to migration. And so that's one thing that leads to so many migration. For the process that is happening in Southern America right now, having to do mainly about either the inflictions, issues of political struggle with this country, drugs, war, class level, and what you call suppression, marginalization in those countries, and all of that leads to also migration. And overall, we will say better life. Yes.
Okuya Forkusektre with the New American Welcome Center. I want to ask you something about how many people in the media are framing this issue and how we are thinking about it. And that is the idea of calling it a crisis. We heard from a listener, David in Mount Morris, who said, "I wouldn't call it a crisis. A crisis would require direct, rapid response to a situation by all levels of government to combat said crisis." I know that this has become a very politically heated topic. We've seen downstate communities sort of saying that, you know, smaller communities where there have not been buses of migrants from Texas showing up, and they're not likely to be, but they've passed ordinances nonetheless saying that they don't want buses there. I wonder how you think about how this issue has been framed, the question of whether it's a crisis. Take it where you will.
Sure. You know, just as any situation that comes with a lot of uncertainty that provides us to look at a particular issue differently when it comes to the resources that we're able to provide, or you may have to realize that we don't necessarily have resources available. You know, it can be very uncomfortable. It can be kind of unsettling. And we see that, you know, not only in the individual level, but at a community level as well. One of the things that we have been doing in the Champaign County community is recognizing that when it comes to supporting individuals and families who are in these particular situations, is that it requires a community-wide effort. And so not only one organization can be able to provide the support, but there's also a lot of needs. And this can only be realized through bringing so many different folks from the community, from government to the table. And that has been the approach that we have been taking, because whether or not it is through, you know, inner highway travel that a group of people arrive, or folks arrive in our community by foot, the fact of the matter is that our communities are still being affected. And so we are trying to look at being able to support individuals from that community-wide approach. You know, when people come to us needing support and needing help, we just have to stick to our welcoming values. And we try to connect folks to resources, because, their families or individuals with basic needs, who have questions around legal support, whatever it may be. And so being able to stay true to our values, I think, is very key in this moment. But I understand it's difficult, it's hard because, communities are dealing with so much when it comes to being able to service people who have basic needs. And sometimes looking at things from a place of scarcity may be in that community's best interest. But it can be hard, right? Like, how do you approach what is perceived as an influx when you don't necessarily have, or you may not necessarily have a lot of resources, or assume that you may not. But if you're able to approach things from a different perspective, one from welcoming values, I think it could also affect how the general response would be.
Hodina, we are coming to the end of our program today. What would you want people listening to understand about these newly arrived migrants?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it so much. The new migrants come to give their best and are going to be a very important contribution to the economy of the United States. They want to learn English. They want to validate their degrees. They want their children to go to school. They want to integrate more than unit separately, which is very good for everyone. We are preparing to receive new people. We hope to have the resources and the will to help you all them as much as possible. Thank you so much.
Charlotte, again, we are coming to the end of our time together. If people listening want to step up, if they want to participate, if they want to help, what can they do?
There's so much to do at every level. If you are a political person, you talk to your legislators, talk to your local county people about policies that are pro families, pro immigrants, and are about keeping families together. If you have any skills you want to get involved, I'm sure any of the organizations that are on this program or others would be happy to receive you as a volunteer or donor or supporter. I think the key is just looking at what are the skill sets you have. Is this something that you're passionate about? Do you want to create welcoming and a more inclusive community? And how can your unique skill sets come to bear on that? And we'd be happy to welcome you into the people who are trying to make a difference and help accept these recent arrivals into our communities.
Charlotte Alvarez is Executive Director of the Immigration Project. We've also been speaking with Hudina Castillo, a recent arrival caseworker with the Immigration Project. Isaac Carr is Citizenship Director with the Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees. And Akuya Forku-Sektre is Director of the New American Welcome Center. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank you.
you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Once again, we tape this program on Wednesday in order to make everyone's schedules work, but we would still love to hear what you think about what we've been talking about, whether you liked it, you didn't like it, if you think we got something wrong or something right for whatever reason, let us know. You can leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. 2121. You can find that number and our email address and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. We've got our past programs there, and you can find links to subscribe to our podcasts, or just look us up on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Once more, I will say you heard a lot of questions and comments from members of our texting group in the past hour, so why not join it yourself? We would love to hear from you. You can help shape our news coverage and share your perspective with your fellow Illinoisans. Send the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday News Roundtables. We'll be talking about local news stories from around Illinois, as well as the week in politics, both here in Illinois and in Washington, D.C. Plus, we'll have a preview of some of the Black History Months taking place across Illinois. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.